behind her, did I pronounce that right?
Yep.
Okay, and I see that there are two people here that wish to speak, or are there more than two people here that wish to speak?
These are kids.
Okay, all right, and so I see there's, I don't want to totally mess up his name. Is it Mr. Reed?
That's me.
Okay, and Mr. Sermik?
Sure.
All right.
I knew you'd do it. Sermik.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and present some information. Then I have those who wish to speak to come out at that time after I present that information to the board to take their card. You can go ahead and sit down, Senator, if you're ready to come up, okay? This is a common case of phase one here for Tina Behema. She is under the old policy. She is asking for a 2-year reduction in her sentence. She has a sentence for trafficking identity in which she has an 11-year sentence. She also has a sentence for another sentence for trafficking identity, and she has an 11-year sentence on that. And then she has a third sentence for trafficking identity in which she has 11 years. These sentences are all running concurrent. And if she receives a reduction, she will become, her absolute discharge day would be July 16th of 2018. Right now, her absolute discharge date is April 1st of 2020 on all these charges since they are running concurrent. According to her application, this is her commutation application, she states that she was involved with on a few occasions of trafficking the identity of another. She was unaware that this was an ongoing investigation. She was under the influence of heroin and meth at the time. Said that she was sick from the withdrawals of the heroin and was just trying to survive another day. Basically, as far as the court sentence goes, she says that she's clean and has spent 6.5 years reflecting on all her actions and maintained employment, participated in programs, and she's truly remorseful and have gained the ability to return to being a law-abiding citizen, and she believes the 11 year was excessive. As far as her plea agreement goes, she says she 6.5 years ago when she made the plea agreement, she was under the stress of withdrawals and mental instability, and was also reacting out of fear because of being told that she didn't sign, she would end up getting 25 years incarcerated. She thinks that the mitigating factor were not taken into consideration. And she said her mitigation factor was she had young children, she was in an abusive relationship and had been diagnosed as bipolar and depressive disorder and was put on medication which she could not afford and had a history of drug use. According to the pre-sentence report and the investigation, her case, it says in March of 24th to 2010, police officers working in an undercover capacity received a telephone call from the defendant. The defendant told undercover officers that she had bank statements she wanted to sell them. They did make arrangements to meet with her. And at that time, they purchased numerous documents with identification information for a Richard Padella. They purchased that information for her for $75. That was on one count. That was on March 24th of 2010. Then in April of 2010, they purchased some additional information from her, which they purchased a driver's license, social security card, bank card, under the name of Tara Hansen. The undercover officers purchased those items for $100 and says during the next 2 months, the defendant made arrangement on more than 3 occasions to sell the same undercover officers more stolen items to include checks, social security cards, driver's license, credit cards, and computer hard drives. The officers was not provided with the with that portion. According to the her aims, she has received a very little discipline. Matter of fact, for the time that she's been in there, she's only received 2 discipline violations. One was in June of 2012, which was for unauthorized smoking. The other one was in November of 14, was disobeying a verbal, and she was found not guilty on that one. So, sir, at this time, there are several letters that she had in her file, letters of support. The police report is also included in the file that I actually have. I am going to stop at this time and ask the supporters to come up and speak at this time. If you could choose the order that you'd like to speak in, I would just come up to the mic and state your name and go ahead and present any information that you'd like to present to the board.
My voice is bad.
Okay, sir.
Jim Cermak. I've known Tina Molinari. I was her grandmother's companion for 35 years.
Yes, sir.
I watched them grow up. Tina and her sister, they had five daughters. They didn't know what to do. They had a rough life. And I visit her every so often in prison now. And, I've seen her change. She never could write. She never went to school. And now she's very bright, very conscientious. She has a job, or she has a job at Papa John's warehouse. And she has a reference from one of the managers.
Right.
That she gets a job when she gets out, and she's welcome to come back.
Yes, I see. There is a letter from
She's found God, but they all find God in prison.
Yes, sir.
But she said she had God before she went to prison. Just didn't know what to do with it. They met the wrong people. She had a low self-esteem because of the different situations she lived with. Now she has a stepmother that's a wonderful person. She has a place to live. He's got money put aside for her. She's got money in a prison system that when she gets out, she'll be pretty well off. She needs an education. That's the only problem that she has. She never finished the GED in prison. And to me, that was a waste putting her in prison for that, because she could learn how to read and write and do things. They all they did was put her away and forgot about her. Like you said, she had two things against her. One for smoking, which is not bad. But she's changed quite a bit. I've known her for, like I said, 35 years. She was 8 years old when I first met her. And I watched her grow up. Then I lost her. Her grandmother passed away last year. Her mother passed away 2 years ago. Yeah. And she has nobody now except her family. And she wants to get back and be a mother and a grandmother. And I just beg that she gets the consideration. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have any questions?
Thank you, sir.
All right. That's
all I can say.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right.
I got about the same as he said.
Just state your name for us, sir.
Name's Charles Green.
Yes, sir.
I'm kind of like, I'm her stepdad.
Okay.
And I go down and see her about every month. And she says she's sorry about what she did. And she's changed, I think. And she just wants to get back to her kids before they're completely grown up. And that's about all.
Like the kids look like they're very, very good kids, you know.
Yeah, doing all right. All right, thank you.
All right, did anyone else wish to speak?
Raymond. You know you didn't sign the paper.
State your name, sir, for us, please.
Raymond Wilson.
Go ahead, sir. Just take the time. It's quite all right.
I don't know if it's been a bad decision in her life.
and not easy for someone who does drugs to clean and stay clean out in the streets. I wasn't always there for her, close to the end of before she got out, because she was getting kept away. I couldn't really see anything. I feel like I should have been there for her to help her, because I would have helped her a little bit more. I kind of abandoned her at the end of all of it, so she kind of went on a downhill spiral after that. Her and my dad got divorced when I was 15 or 16, and my brother and sister got to go with my dad, and I was stuck with my mom at the time. We lived through rough times living in a truck, so she tried very hard to make a good future for me, but she just couldn't because of the drugs. So I decided to meet her when I was 17, and then maybe about a year after that, she ended up going to prison for the charges she has now. And I've met her two times since she's been here. And from what I've seen, she's changed a lot, and she doesn't seem to be the same person anymore.
Thank you. If the board has no questions, then we're going to move into discussion. The board's now going to go into discussion at this time. May appear as though we talked to you. We're going to ask you to remain silent while the board's in discussion. We will have a discussion at that time. We'll come up with a conclusion as to what we're going to, the board's decision is going to actually be. Ms. Beheimer was selling stolen property and identity to undercover police officers for a period of time, resulting in her being arrested and charged for those crimes. And for those crimes that she was charged with, she was sentenced to 3 counts of the sale of identity, trafficking in identity, or trafficking in stolen property. As a result of those, each one of those charges, the presumptive sentence was 9.25 years. The minimum sentence of it was 6 years, and the maximum sentence of those charges could have been 18.5 years. As a result of the plea agreement, she was given a little bit over the presumptive, which was an 11-year sentence. And also, as a result of the plea agreement, she had a total of 6 counts. As a result of pleading to those first 3 counts of trafficking and the identity of another, during the plea agreement, it was that although she was given 3 sentences of 11 years, that those sentences were to run concurrent and not consecutively to each other. Also, as a result of the plea agreement, count 4, trafficking in the identity of another, Class 2 felony, count 5, trafficking in the identity of another, a Class 2 felony, and count 6, trafficking in stolen property, were all dismissed as a result of the plea agreement that she made at the time. Although she has been incarcerated, she's been pretty good while she's been in. She has received some information. She's even taken some college courses while she's been incarcerated. There's a number of classes that she has here. There's a number of support letters that she also has attached. Most of the support letters, I didn't see any letters coming from her family, immediate family, but there was letters from friends and someone who had been incarcerated with. Because of the plea agreement that she actually received, she really got a good plea agreement with 6 charges, 3 of those charges being dropped, and the 3 charges that she was given, they were running all concurrent, which was an 11-year sentence, which was a year and a half above what the presumptive was, which is the presumptive is what anybody will actually give for trafficking in the identity of another. So I don't find that the sentence to be extensive on, based on the information that's contained inside of the report and the amount of crime that was being done. According to the reports, they were buying different identity, credit cards, social security cards, and different information. And she admits that she was in the, on heroin and meth at the time, and was trying to feed her habit at the time to continue to do that. And she was subsequently arrested by the undercover officers, who I think, according to the report, had tape recordings and video of these transactions that actually occurred that went on. So based on the information of the plea agreement, I do not find that those charges are excessive. I do understand that she would like to get out to be with her family and her children, to see her children grow up. And she's asked for a 2-year reduction. She will be released in 2020. But because I don't find the sentence to be excessive, I don't, I'm not supportive of recommending it to a phase 2 commutation here as well. I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. This case is, of course, tragic, and I really do appreciate the heartfelt words of her family. It's always hard when you look at a case of an individual, and I know I said this in an earlier hearing, but we're fighting a drug addiction, and there's often the crimes associated with feeding that habit. But based on everything you said, I have to admit, and it sounds a little hard-hearted, but it was a lenient sentence considering what she could have been charged with. That, and if I'm doing my math correct, she only has a little more than 2 years left of her sentence, and she'll be 45 years old upon her release. And I just I wish her a safe return to the community. That's where I'm at.
Okay. So, therefore, my motion is going to be to not pass on to a phase 2 hearing based on the information and the report of it not being an excessive
Second.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Good. So thank you. I want to thank you for coming out. I also want to thank the children and sir. I want to thank you for taking the opportunity to come up and speak on behalf of your mother. That's going to conclude the hearing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.